Heavenly Father, we ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips and only your word would be spoken. Open our ears and only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please turn with me in our Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Beginning at verse 17, in the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1104. Today we are observing All Saints Day. As I said in the introduction, we're going to be looking at both what I think are the biblical and positive blessings of this observance, but also the dangers and the warnings. I did not realize that when I was gone last week that Father Bill D. Ortega spoke about demons and casting out demons. I just found that out this morning because I thought he was going to be talking about something else, but that was fine. But I realized that I don't think it's an accident. I do believe Father Bill is somebody who is open to the Holy Spirit. And so I think it's particularly in this time that which we live, but also in this particular week, there's just a lot of spiritual stuff going on this week, and it's not all good, and it's not all good, and I think that's the message we have. And so when we talk about these things that happen, we need to remember that Satan is real. He's not just a personification of evil. He's actually a real being. He's an angel, and he's a very, very powerful angel. Nothing compared to Jesus Christ, by the way. There's no comparison. But as far as angels go, Satan is a very powerful angel. And so we see here a specific reference of Jesus himself to the reality of the adversary that we know as Satan or Lucifer. So here we see in Luke chapter 10, Jesus has sent out the 72 disciples. And one of the things he told them to preach, to heal people, and to cast out evil spirits. And so now we hear them coming back and reporting to Jesus what they encountered as they had gone out in their ministry. So we pick up Luke chapter 10, verse 17. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And this is the word of the Lord. And so, Satan is real. Depending on how we interpret things in the Old Testament, not only did he rebel against God, but as many as one-third of all the angels rebelled with him. And there was a war in heaven, as we're told in the Revelation of John. Michael and his angels fighting against Satan and his angels. Satan and his angels were defeated. They were thrown out of heaven. And guess where they were thrown to? Earth. And to now be at war against the saints of God. So there's this war going on. We don't see it visibly in the material world as consciously as I believe the scriptures depict it. But it is going on around us nonetheless. And so, as I said, particularly in this week where we see so much spiritual activity going on, both positive and negative, I think we need to understand that things that we say and things that we do have spiritual significance. And I think that's a main message that Paul is getting across to the in his letter to the Corinthians, as we heard in our reading from 1 Corinthians 10. Is that things that we say and things that we do have a spiritual significance. Now, on the positive side, I think it's wonderful. We talk about Holy Communion, which we celebrate as the early church did the first day of the week. We gather together and we celebrate the breaking of the bread. We're told by Paul, now this letter is within about 20 years of the resurrection of Christ. And so what we're seeing is what was happening in the early church. And he talks about the meaning of Holy Communion. The cup of blessing that we bless is a participation in the blood of Christ. And the bread which we break is a participation in the body of Christ. What a powerful statement that is. Christ abiding in us and us abiding in Christ. But then Paul goes on to say in this letter, but, be careful, because there's also other things out there. There are people who are eating food that have been sacrificed to idols. In the same way as we participate in the body and blood of Christ because of the elements and because of the words of Scripture that we pronounce over those elements, so too elements or food that's being offered on altars of the pagans are basically participating in those demons. And so Paul says, I don't want you to be participating with demons. So don't mess around with this food that's being offered to idols. He says very specifically, he does not want us to be participants with demons. And so we see the positive, the great things that we have of participating in Christ, but also, again, how the enemy counterfeits things and misuses things and twists things in order to corrupt the things that God has given us as far as gifts and what he has passed on to the church. I think this week, the observance of All Saints Day is one of those things as well. All Saints Day is a special time that we as the body of Christ remember those who have gone on before us, as the songs that we just sang. We are aware of that those have gone on before us. And symbolically, it may be meaningful to us to light a candle to remind us that their light still shines. In many respects, they are more alive today than they were on this earth. And I find that very comforting to know that they are there. They're waiting for us. As Jesus went to prepare a place for us, you know, we're not only remembering those who've gone before us, but in a sense, we're also looking forward to it ourselves. We keep that heavenly vision in our mind because that's our goal. Paul talks about running the race. And so not only do we remember and think and thank God for the inspiration of saints who have gone on before us, to read the lives of the saints can be very inspiring. The things that they went through, the faith in God that they had put in, how God proved faithful to them. Some of those stories are absolutely inspiring. And for us as well to remember loved ones that we knew. I love the saying, one of my top 10, the more people we know on the other side, the greater the pull. The more we know on the other side, the greater the pull. And so I think there's a very positive part of us to remember not only those that have gone before us, but to that vision keeping in our mind ourselves of crossing the Jordan, okay, and entering the promised land, which is wait for us for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so I think in that respect, this day that's been set aside is a very good thing. The first reference we have, according to the Oxford Dictionary of Christian Church, to All Saints, dates back to the year 373. So we're talking about the early centuries of the church. The date was actually began as the first Sunday after Pentecost. So we'd observe Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then the very next Sunday, those saints that had gone before us, that had lived out and walked in the Spirit. That sounds like kind of a nice thing. Well, in the Eastern Church, we talk Eastern in terms of Eastern Europe and Russia and Greece and so forth. It's still observed in the spring. But in the Western Church, in the year 741, by the Pope Gregory, who was the Western Pope, moved the date to November 1st. And ever since the 8th century, in the Western Church, it's been observed on November 1st. Now, we set aside this day again, and I think it's a good thing one day of the year, just to remind us that those have gone before us and have memories of them, but also keep that vision of the heavenly place in our own minds. But I believe that this is also something that Jesus did, remembering those who had gone on before us. Jesus on several occasions made repeated references to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember, he chastised the Sadducees who said there's no life after death. He said, God is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of the living and not of the dead. That's what we're celebrating today. He also referenced Moses, the prophets, and even John the Baptist after his death. And then again in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17, we have that wonderful heavenly vision of the saints before the throne of God, under the throne of God, dressed in white robes, and asking basically, Lord, how long, Lord, how much longer before all of our brothers and sisters, you know, gather together in the heavenly realm. So we remember, but also we're looking ahead. Okay, remembering, but also looking ahead to our own time. And so I think it's very inspiring for us to set aside these special days, that we keep that in mind. And that's a very good thing, I believe. I think it's biblical. I think it's good for us. But, again, as with so much of what the enemy does, he'll take things and he'll twist it. Even the scriptures. Remember what he did to Jesus? He took the scriptures of Adam and Eve and he twisted it and said, did God really say? And so Satan has this way of anything that is good, he'll try to twist it and turn it. The spiritual gifts, I've heard many people say, well, I heard, you know, the gift of tongues or prophecy, I heard it abused one time. So it must be of the devil. And I would say, okay, I don't doubt that somebody would hear something, an abuse of maybe one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Does that mean that all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are null and void? I would say absolutely not. In fact, if anything, anything that Satan tries to counterfeit or corrupt, to me would say that, well, then we need to be more forceful about understanding what is this and why would Satan be so determined to try to corrupt this? Now, hypothetical situation, purely hypothetical. Could you possibly imagine where some group of people were trying to discredit our national anthem? No, it's just not possible that somebody would discredit, maybe by, you know, not standing or something like that. So just now what is our reaction to that? Is say, well, then let's do away with the national anthem. Of course not. What has it done within our country? It's just raised up a fervor, right? And say, no, let's understand. What is this about? What does it stand for? And I think the very same thing applies when we see things that are good that have been passed on in the church. And Satan is trying to corrupt it. We don't just say, okay, so the devil's corrupting it or he's counterfeiting it, therefore let's do away with it. We need to look at it, examine it, as we're going to see, as Scripture says, to test everything and hold fast to what is good. And so I think All Saints Day, a remembrance, is a good thing, but it has become corrupted in this sense. About the 16th century is the earliest example I could find of. The celebration of All Saints was combined with what is known as All Hallows' Eve. It's the evening before All Saints' Day, All Hallows' Eve, which you know is Halloween. Okay, Halloween. So the night before All Saints' Day, all of a sudden we start to see this remembrance, these customs, these things stirring up, All Hallows' Eve. And it is the night, October 31st, which is the night before All Saints' Day, which is November 1st. It's amazing how this has gone so worldwide in terms of, you know, started in many of the customs of Western Europe and even the Celtic customs. Now, again, we need to be very careful anytime we do an internet search, because, again, if there's something that's good and of God, the enemy's going to put stuff out there that will corrupt it and defame it and speak it down. So we need to ask ourselves, okay, where am I getting this information? I happen to think that Wikipedia is generally, I find, pretty reliable. If you go on to Wikipedia and do a search on Halloween, it is a very sobering read. To look at all the customs and the things that we do, the things that we bought into, the things that we thought were just, oh, it's just fun. To fact see that the background behind this and how it first came into our being is these customs, again, particularly in Western Europe and the cultic customs. Things like witches. Witches? What about beautiful Glenda? Remember the Wizard of Oz? So how could dear Glenda, how could she be anything bad, you know? I mean, she's so beautiful. And then we hear, oh, she's the good witch of the West or the whatever they were, you know. There's a good witch and then there's her bad sister. By the way, this word evil is unclean. Anything that's not of God is unclean. Okay, Jesus told us either you're the father, God is your father, or Satan is your father. C.S. Lewis, I think, put it greatly. He says, every inch of earth and every moment of time has been claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. There's no middle ground. It's either of God or Satan. If there's power, supernatural, it either comes from God or it's not from God, it comes from Satan. Okay, so there's no middle ground. And so this Wikipedia talk about witches, if there's power, and if it's not of God, It's of demons, is what it is, but it's masquerading, as Scripture tells us, as angels of light. And yet I believe we see it in the church today and in our culture that it's so trivialized. I think the enemy's done a wonderful job of doing this. Oh, that's just, you know, a witch, wonderful witch. Debbie and I were up in Virginia this week with our daughter's wedding. We spent some time with our grandchildren. Our four-year-old grandson is in a Christian preschool. And this week they had a Halloween parade. Now they're mostly dressing up, you know, as Spider-Man and these other characters and figures and so forth. But one of the teachers was dressed up as a witch. This is a Christian preschool. One of the kids, just one of them, there's maybe 30 kids, one of them was dressed up as a witch, had her broom. Now, you know, they're obviously thinking this, well, it's harmless. You know, oh, it's just kid stuff. Because that has been so ingrained in our culture, has it not? That this stuff doesn't matter. And what does I say our message from Paul today? Things that we do, things that we say, symbols have spiritual significance. It's a warning that he has given us. Things about witches, things about ghosts. You know, the Bible is very clear. We are not to try to conjure up ghosts. Okay, very specifically about that. Evil spirits being appeased by food in the hope that they will not harm us. There was a belief that evil spirits would harm us, but if we appease them by putting some food out or giving them some food, then we'll appease them and they won't do us any harm. You know what that has become? Trick or treat. Trick or treat. I read that and I'm like, oh my goodness. Trick or treat. That's where it came from. Jack-o'-lantern. You know, read it. Look it up. It's amazing the amount of stuff that's there, but be aware of it. Again, I think Wikipedia is a pretty reliable site. It looks like the research is pretty solid. Look at other things, but be aware. But the idea of dressing up in costumes on behalf of dead people, you know, goes back to an ancient pagan custom. And so, again, I think the devil has been very successful in trivializing this and people saying, it doesn't matter. There's no harm in it. It's just kid stuff. And yet it's opening spiritual doorways, the potential, let me say, for opening spiritual doorways. Now, let me step back and give kind of a word of caution here. Again, I agree with those who say there's two extreme reactions to this kind of teaching. One is this idea there's a demon behind every bush, everything's demonic, and we live in fear and all that. That's not what the Bible presents to us. But the other side is equally destructive. We simply ignore Satan. We believe there's no power at all. It's all just storytelling. You know, there's things of, you know, a devil in a red suit and you know, horns and a, you know, that's just made up stuff and there's no danger in it. That is equally destructive and equally dangerous. So I think the two opposite extremes are equally dangerous and I would say equally unbiblical. In fact, anti-biblical against the teaching of Holy Scripture. And so we need to be aware of it. We need to understand that these things potentially can be opening up spiritual doorways. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 2, he's talking about some of these very kinds of things to the church in Corinth, which was a very spiritual church. And he said, well, these things are good because, he says, we're not unaware of the devil's schemes. He's kind of talking to the church, saying, okay, well, this has happened, but isn't it good because we're not unaware of the devil's schemes? And I look at the church today, I look at Christians today, and I think, yes, we are unaware of the devil's schemes. He's been very successful in trivializing it and getting us to believe that, oh, there's no harm in all that, there's no, you know, symbols and so forth, no harm, and yet that's not what the Scriptures reveal to us. And so I think we need to take that very seriously. Now let me say on the other side of that, that what we heard in our reading from Paul about this warning about food offered to idols was not Paul's only word on this issue of food offered to idols. Whenever we have these issues, we need to look at everything that Paul talked about and everything in the Scripture so that we're consistent throughout the reading of Scripture. And we see just in the chapter, two chapters before this, at the very same letter, Paul talks again about food offered to idols. And in this, he seems to kind of go maybe against what he's saying here because he's saying the idols aren't really anything. And he says, we are no worse off if we eat and no better off if we do. What he seems to be saying as we look at the context of this letter is be aware of of what the meaning is behind this. Be aware if somebody says to you, by the way, you know that food was offered to an idol? He says, then don't eat it. This is not necessarily for your conscience. If you believe it's nothing, it's fine. Okay, that's as long as you understand what you're doing. But don't eat it on behalf of the conscience of the other person, because you would hinder them and their faith. So I think his consistent teaching here is be aware of this stuff. We're not afraid of it because we've been given the authority in Jesus Christ, as I think Father Bill, you know, laid out last week. But we're not to take it for granted. We are not to trivialize it. And to be aware that potentially we are opening spiritual doorways to things that will come in and harm us, especially our innocent children. Especially our innocent children. So taking this together, I just offer a couple things of advice. One is, I would say, don't let the enemy corrupt every good thing. You know, and this can go a long, long ways. You know, Jesus said, you know, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. That's an important distinction. If we look at all the things the enemy has corrupted, you know, Easter, the name Easter comes from a pagan worship. Does that mean we no longer celebrate the resurrection of the Lord? No, it doesn't. Christmas is on a day, December 31st. Some people say, well, that was a pagan day. Does that mean it keeps us from observing when Jesus came into the world, the incarnation? No, it doesn't. As long as we understand, you know, what we're celebrating and what is being blessed here. And so we need to be careful that we're not, you know, be aware of things, because it is really endless the way the enemy has infiltrated, to the point if somebody says, well, I'm not going to have anything to do that has any pagan implications. And if we find ourselves trying to be in that place, and I would say, okay, what day is today? It's Sunday. You know, we change it here. We say S-O-N day, but you know what it is in the culture, S-U-N day. It's the day of the sun. What's tomorrow? The day of the moon. What's Saturday? The day of Saturn, right? What are these? These are pagan names. What about the months of the year? What's August? You know, Augustus, he claimed himself to be a deity. So I tell people I was born August 7th, and I'm like, oh, I can't say that. So what would I, you know, we could revert maybe to the Jewish months. But do you see where this leads to? And I think Paul's warning is not, don't, like he's saying, food offered to idols. He says, be aware of your own conscience and your own faith. Understand what it is, where it came from. Test everything, but hold on to what is good. Okay, so don't let the enemy steal or take away or corrupt all the things that are good, because there's much that is good and he will corrupt it. And so we need to be discerning. That's why the gift of discernment is so important in the end times for the church. A second thing I would warn, though, however, is be aware of the symbols and the costumes that we use. Is everything demonic? I don't believe so. Do all these things have the potential to be demonic? Yeah. Yeah, they do. How do we know the difference? We pray. We pray for God's discernment. We maybe talk to other people. But clearly there are symbols that we need to stay away from. I would not let, you know, I know we don't have as much control over our grandchildren as we would like, but if we've got grandchildren dressing up as witches, you know, and skeletons, you know, like dead people and stuff, you know, let's try to, you know, ask our kids, you know, do you realize where this comes from? See, that's what this whole thing did, awareness. Do you realize where it comes from and the potential that's there to introduce these doorways open to the enemy? Because the enemy is ruthless. And he will take every gap, every inch, and get his little pinky in that door and just work and work and work. So again, we don't throw out all, but we test all. This is the word, I think, to follow. Test everything. What do you think it means to test everything? I think it means test everything. Okay? Trick question. We say, oh, well, that's not spiritual. Very important principle here. Everything has a spiritual component. Everything has a spiritual component. Doesn't matter what we do, what we're talking about, words we use, the symbols, the signs. Everything has a spirit. Test everything. That's why I said it. Do we throw out everything? No. Hold on to what is good. We test it. We discern it. Okay, fine. As kids, yeah, okay. We pray about it. Yeah, I think it's okay. I think it's okay to give gifts back and forth at Christmas. I don't think we should banish that. Do you remember the reason for Christmas? Yeah, it's to celebrate the coming of Christ into the world. So people give gifts back. Okay, that's fine. That's good. We, you know, we enjoy that time with family. That's wonderful. Test everything. Hold on to what is good. But then this thing, abstain from every form of evil. That word evil, we can tend to think of, oh, we're just talking about horrible, Halloween movies and people being killed. And that word evil is unclean. It really means anything that's not of God. Anything that is not of God. How do we know that? We go first to Scriptures. Scripture's clear on some things. It's not clear on a lot of other things. We pray to the Lord. We discern within the body of Christ. And we abstain from everything that is not of God. And so, this week, we have all this spiritual stuff going on. Good, and some not so good. What are we called to do? To be discerning about it. To look for it. To be aware of it. Let us not be unaware of the devil's schemes. But be vigilant and realize there's an enemy out there who's seeking to steal, kill, and destroy, who masquerades as a servant of righteousness, as an angel of light. And so we heed the warning of Jesus for the end times. Two specific warnings he gave us: to watch and don't be deceived. To watch and don't be deceived. My brothers and sisters, I believe the kingdom of God is upon us. And if we heed the warnings of Holy Scripture to test everything, hold on to what is good, I believe God will protect us. And by that, the best truly is yet to come. Because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, especially this week, Lord, help us to be discerning, to know what is of you and what is not. Help us not to be ignorant of the devil's schemes and devices and counterfeits. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes focused on you. Help us to hear your voice. And help us to heed that voice. Lord, we pray especially for those who are ignorant this week, who will be exposing themselves to many things. May you open the eyes of people, Lord, to understand the history, the traditions, the potential dangers to some of the things that we do and take for granted so easily. And Lord, I would pray that you help us to be a discerning, not judging, but be discerning for others, to help raise questions in their mind and to maybe help them to be educated and understand that we've been deceived by the enemy. We bought into many things, many lies, and in fact, the enemy is delighting that we have so trivialized so many of these things. So Lord, help us to be diligent, help us to be discerning. In all things, may all that we do give glory to you, Heavenly Father. And we pray this in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.